Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. I don't think we need to educate our patients. And I know you're thinking like that's crazy, but hear me out. We need to consent our patients. And there's a significant difference between educating our patients and consenting our patients.
We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Dentistry Made Simple podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Tarun Agrawal, and for once, we are joined by our co-host, Meredith Cooper-Jones.
I'm sorry. Somebody has to work around here.
Well, I had to do two episodes without you, and then come back to me. They didn't let me wear my glasses on here. I'm getting old, and I can't see
anymore. Yeah, but
anymore.
You have a glare.
So then I was like, I'll look down like this, and then Meredith said, I look like I'm wearing grandma glasses. Why can't it be grandpa glasses? But anyway, listen, this week, in all seriousness, this week, we're going to talk about something that we're all doing, we're all guilty of. It cemented in Meredith after her recent trip to Seattle, where we had one of our sleep apnea programs with Dr. Erin Elliott in Seattle. And she was just listening to the dentists talk to each other and or talk about how they talk to patients. So I'm going to turn it over to Meredith. And Meredith, you can give us a review, sell us some classes, and tell us what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. So for those of you who haven't been to our case acceptance or done our mastermind, this whole technobabble may be a little new to you, but it's something we kind of talk about a lot. And so the last 2 weeks I've been at clinical courses. I was at ortho, sleep apnea. And like you said, I was just hearing doctors talk about case acceptance and closing cases. And one of them even went through kind of what he says to patients. And I was like, you know, my brain was just like, but I, you know.
But you're too kind to censor. Yeah. I would have been like, what's wrong with you?
I actually said, do you want the T-Bone answer? And I think he was like, who's T-Bone?
Good. Even better.
That's even better. I just wanted to read a review. So if you haven't left us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or for 3D Dentists on Google, we would love that. But this one says, for the podcast, simply the best. T-Bone's podcast and 3D Dentist have changed our practice for the better. We have grown so much as a team and a practice since Dr. Ali and Adam took the Masterminds course. We continue to implement and improve the fundamentals, and when we veer from them, we notice a difference immediately. Not only has the podcast and 3D Dentist changed our practice, but it has changed our lives, both professionally and personally. Thank you to the entire 3D Dentist team, from Haley Fritz at All in the Family Dental. So she is the director of everyone there. So that's cool to see because she is part of our team mastermind and the advanced mastermind. For her to see that change and for it to affect the team members, not just the doctors, is really a cool dynamic.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that people listening may not understand is that like all of these concepts do affect us professionally, but also personally, and especially for team members. And I want to take a moment to kind of let this sink in a little bit. You know, for dentists, if you make a few thousand dollars more per year, it probably doesn't really change your life very much.
But for our team members, as something quote unquote insignificant as $2,000-$3,000 per year can be life altering for them. That can be the family vacation that they weren't able to go on before. That could be the hot water heater that they need to change. That could be the new set of tires that they need. That could be getting a car. That could be just honestly the ability to put more food on the table for their family or to save for their kids going to college. And that's always been very important to me in my practice and as a dentist and as a human being is what can I do that not only, of course, has to help me, but is it also helping the people around me? And I sent you a text over the weekend, didn't
yeah.
I? That it's time for us to get back in the saddle and really get rolling so that we can all win. I didn't say so I can win.
Right.
You know, I always said that we can all win
yeah.
in this. And I think that's what's in it for team members. And we think, maybe they're not driven by money, but I'm telling Meredith is $2,000-$3,000. It makes a difference, doesn't yeah. it? Caroline, does $2,000-$3,000 make a difference? It makes a difference, you know. And my worry with Meredith is she'd buy more bags and shit with it. But
no, I was on trip.
She wouldn't save for her new baby's college education. She'd go on
a trip.
She
already has a 529, okay?
Oh, my God. Don't get me started on 529.
I know. Plans. I didn't do it, so I'm not going to deny it. I'm going to take it.
Of course. I get you. All right, Meredith, what are we talking about
yeah,
this week?
Yeah, so for today... let's talk about, I guess, for those who don't know, what is technobabble?
If you ask me,
yeah.
technobabble is anytime you open your mouth as a dentist and the word, any dental terminology comes out of your mouth, that is technobabble. Anything that comes out of your mouth that would require some type of degree to even remotely understand, you know, like as simple as something like resin. Like
yeah.
like resin, like most people don't know what the hell resin. I still don't know what resin
tell
is.
Tell them, well, we had the patient that Googled resin.
Oh yeah, I had that talk. Mm-hmm. One of the patients has referred to me. He's from a small town about an hour outside Raleigh. And I gave him a treatment plan and on our financial menu. So it's not even the practice management treatment plan, which would have been much worse. I said resin, white fillings, tooth number XYZ, and he called back, he had Googled resin, and he said, you guys are going to use tree sap in my teeth. And at that point, I was like, oh my God, that's what people are doing.
Yeah.
So to me, that's technobabble.
And he didn't ask at the office, what is resin?
No.
He went home and Googled it.
Yeah, because
it was worse.
Written on his written treatment plan.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't give them a treatment plan to people like that.
Well, that's what it says in Eaglesoft.
Yeah.
It's one surface resin.
Resin, yeah. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah. Well, so give us some examples. What is
there's one.
Examples of technobabble?
We're going to do a endodontic treatment on you.
Uh-huh.
Like, what the hell is endodontic treatment? I think most of our patients...
Pulpotomy.
Like, so wait, you're going to call... Who's the guy from John Travolta from
the Pulp
Fiction?
The tree company? We're going to pulp? That's like a tree.
Oh, my God. You know, that would be an example. I'm going to use a Lindemann burr. That's one of Jock's favorites.
Yeah.
When we're doing implants, I'm going to do bone reduction on you.
How about that time you told that lady you were going to give her a vibrator for her ortho treatment?
And I told her she had to wear it in her mouth.
Maybe we shouldn't have mentioned that.
That's great. And I wasn't even thinking bad at that point
right.
in time. I was like, legitimately, I'm going to give you a vibrating.
But then you tried to explain why. Like, this is going to help, you know, open up the fibers to move the teeth. I'm like, what?
Oh, my God. No,
so those are great examples of technobabble. We're going to flap.
Yeah, we're going to flap.
You know, like, or we're going to, before when we used to punch, like, they're like, what are you doing? You're going to punch me in the face? Why are you flapping? Like, they don't even know what that is. So it's like
thing, flapjacks.
I think if anything, these doctors think that they're helping their case acceptance and really they're scaring patients away.
It's crazy.
I mean, I just thought of myself as a patient and I was like, if I heard them say that to me, I would be like, I'm definitely going to go get a
like, I'm pretty sure if I told you I'm going to give you a crown, you'd be like, ooh, yeah. I want a diamond encrusted one to put on my head. I've seen that meme somewhere on yeah, some
my social dentist said I needed a crown and I was like, I know, right?
So
everyone sends that to me.
That's technobabble as yeah. examples.
I think a lot of times doctors are like, well, you know, why do you think doctors are doing this?
I know exactly why we're doing it. Number one, We're trying to educate. We've been told that we have to educate people to get them to understand and value what we're doing. And I think nothing could be further from the truth. 90% of our patients don't want to know what the hell you're doing to them. They just want to know, are you going to do it well? Are you going to do it relatively painlessly? And how much does it cost? And so I think we're doing technobabble for a couple of reasons. One is that fundamentally we were taught that we have to educate our patients. And when I think, when we think of educate, we think we have to raise their IQ, the dental IQ. Everybody should be laughing when I say these buzzwords, dental IQ. I can't remember how many seminars I used to attend early in my career, and the speaker would say, you need to raise your patient's IQ. I'm like, they're so damn stupid, it's impossible to raise their IQ, you know, especially if the patient is Caroline. I'm just messing with you, Caroline. I'm doing that with Caroline because she's only got, she says 3-4 more weeks before she delivers that baby. That'll be baby number 4 for me this year.
Yep.
Hopefully the last one. And it's not mine.
You sound like they're all yours.
God. No, far from it. So we're fundamentally taught that we have to educate our patients. And then number 2, we don't know what else to say. So we say all the shit that came in our science books. And that we feel like we're made to feel smart by making our patients feel stupid, is we think that's how we get people to say yes. And nothing can be further from the truth of those two things. So that's why most of us are doing technobabble.
Yeah, and I think when the technobabble, I hate this term, but I think when the technobabble comes out, the verbal diarrhea starts.
Yeah,
and they just can't stop.
They get all excited, like, oh my God, like
nerd out, like totally nerd out.
I did technobabble with Dr. Katie the other day. I was like, oh my God, we were talking about milled PMMAs and how we're bonding
to them. But dentist to dentist, that's okay.
I know, but even then I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I remember that. I was like, we're talking about free radicals for bonding on fully cured composites versus partially cured composites. I'm like, wow, I actually listened to dental school.
Could you imagine trying to say that to a patient?
It'd be like this. Mrs. Jones, I want to give you a heads up that your implant temporary will probably come unbonded because it doesn't bond so well because there's not as many free radicals on the fully milled composites that come out of the milling machines versus the partially cured composites where we cure them ourselves with the light. And she'd probably be like, what the hell are you doing to me? What
so it's going to come apart? That's what I would take from that, you know? So you're expecting this to come off. I don't think I'm interested.
Yeah,
Thank you, though.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Well, I think everyone's thinking, but we have to educate the patient. That's our liability. Like, we're supposed to educate the patient. And so when do you feel that that is appropriate? Yeah.
I don't think we need to educate our patients. And I know you're thinking like that's crazy, but hear me out. We need to consent our patients. And there's a significant difference between educating our patients and consenting our patients. And one thing I picked up from one of my mentors, Paul Homley, was patient consent comes after case acceptance. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's one of the mantras that I use in our boot camp and our mastermind program is patient consent comes after case acceptance. Very rarely do we educate our patients. Now, something that you may be wondering is how do you know which patients want to be educated versus not? It's a simple question. Hey, Meredith, are you the details person that want me to go through every detail of what we're going to do? Or are you the person that just wants the bottom line of what we're going to do?
Just the bottom line.
Perfect. Meredith, here's the great news. We're going to fix this tooth. We're going to get rid of the infection. We're going to put it all back together again so you can have this tooth for a long time. Does that sound good?
Yep.
Perfect. You know, and that would be the conversation, you know, and then, you know, so, and then in the consent process, we'd then give them that stupid form that tells them that they might die and stuff like that. But, you know, that's my take on it. Now, some of you may disagree and that's okay. I totally accept that. I've learned to accept that people disagree with me as much as I don't like to. I don't think we should educate our patients. We should do what's required to consent our patients. And that doesn't mean telling them that they might die or tell them that they, you know, that you're going to break files and nobody, like you're going to take a pen. What is those stretchy file things called?
In a file folder. Yeah.
And then like the patient, like you can put a yellow manila file folder in my mouth.
Yeah.
And so, you know, those kind of things. So sometimes the word there would be an instrument. We're going to use an instrument to clean out your nerve of your tooth. And during procedure, very rarely does it happen, but there's a small chance that we could have an instrument separate a break.
If that happens, we'll get it fixed.
Yeah. And that would be something you would do if I did say, yes I'm interested in the details.
Yeah.
You would still dumb it down a little bit, but explain the process.
Yeah.
And I think that is a happy medium for those people who are out there like, what? Yeah. You have to tell the patient what you're doing. It's just what you have to do, you know? So maybe that's something you tell them when they come in for the appointment. Do you have any questions about what we're going to do today? Yeah. Nope, I'm good.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, what are you going to do today?
Yeah.
And that's where you can kind of share.
I was just thinking about the story you said of the dentist that was talking to Penny at the class. And he was like, I talked to my patients about the malocclusion.
Yeah.
Like, number one, I don't even know what malocclusion is. Like, I think that's Kennedy. I don't know what, like, that's...
You're looking at me like I'm supposed to know, like, what textbook that came out of in dental school.
Like, I don't even remember what malocclusions there are anymore, for God's sakes. I mean, those are just words. Like, I would say you have a bad bite.
Yeah.
You know, or a less than ideal bite. You know, that, like, that's a good word. People understand that. People don't understand what occlusion means. Like, Caroline, do you know what occlusion means? No, after being around me for 2 years, she still doesn't know what occlusion means. Like, clearly, she's been pregnant for 2 years. She has pregnancy brain for this whole 2 years she's been here.
Yeah, but if there's a problem that a patient's trying to solve, like their gums are receding or something like that, then they understand because they're looking for a solution to a problem. But if I just come in, I want my teeth to look better. I don't need you to tell me I have malocclusion. I want my teeth to look better. I don't care.
You know, like how we're going to move your teeth. Like if they don't ask the question, don't answer the question.
Yeah.
You know, kind of.
And you're just providing more work for yourself.
Yeah.
Really?
Or you're a better potential, a bigger potential to put your foot in your mouth that you're then going to have to back out of. So, you know, the general rule.
And running your team behind.
Yeah.
Make them all crazy.
And then, but here's the other part of this that's so important. When you lead as the dentist, when you lead with technobabble, you're then telling your team they should lead with technobabble. Mm-hmm. And their technobabble is probably even worse than your technobabble. It might not even be true, for God's sake.
It gets about periodontal disease. It's true.
It's so important to cut out the technobabble. And look, here's my challenge to each of you. And this is hard, I get it, but I would love for you one day to just record the core conversations you have with patients and then just listen to it afterwards, or play it to one of your non-dental friends and ask them if they understood anything that you said. Did any of that stuff that you explained make them want to do the work you were talking about? And it's like one day... What was it? Sully was talking about this recently with his periodontist they recently hired.
Mm-hmm.
That he was talking about, he was telling his patients he's going to be harvesting gums.
Yeah. He said, if you bring up harvesting, you'll be harvesting gums or something. Again, you won't be working. I
remember the first time I started doing bone grafts, I was telling patients that we were going to use cadaver bone on them. Like, that's what I was leading with.
Yeah.
Before they said, yes, I want to replace my missing tooth once it comes out, I was leading like, yeah, we'll put cadaver bone in there. They're like, what do you mean by cadaver bone? I'm like, yeah, cadaver bone, you know, from a dead person. Then it leads into the conversation.
Never mind.
Like, yeah, like, it's, I'm like, and then at that point, I don't want to have the conversation anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we're going to do some, we're going to fill the hole with some grafting material to make it your own bone. And, you know, just leave it simple like that. Now some of your patients are going to be very specific that they have religious reasons. They don't want that. And, you know, look, those are the times where you need to be technobabble. Okay, you need to have some of those conversations. But generally speaking, we're overdoing it. I mean, I think we're overdoing this at this point.
Yeah.
Of how much. What are some other examples? What are some other good things you've heard? Like, there must be some crazy technobabble going on in our office right now.
No, I think hygiene is a big one. I think with perio and gums.
Oh, I remember I was, I had one of my patients, this is early in my career.
Yeah.
When I was doing my own hygiene.
Yeah.
So you know this was a complete shit show. I had a patient once ask me, how do you do scaling root plate? I said, we're going to take a Gracie 4-5 curette under your gums. And she's like, well, I don't chew gum. How are you underneath it? I'm like, oh my God, help me, Gracie 4-5.
Well, everybody,
curette.
Just take it one day at the time. Try to cut the techno babble. See if you can do it. And then, lead your team to not do it as well, because I would agree.
Like, it needs to become like the cursing game. Where if you use a curse word, you have to put a dollar or something in the thing. And I think you, like, make it something fun in your practice.
And then that can be lunch for the team because we know you're going
to
do it.
Yeah, we know it. So every time they ding you and you have to put a dollar or a quarter, whatever. I mean, hell, I would start with a quarter because that's going to turn into 20 bucks pretty quick with the amount of times that you do technobabble. And let's see what happens. Anytime you use dental words, make it a challenge that you can get patients to say yes without ever telling them one dental word. Like, make that the challenge. And it's amazing to me. What you should find is that your case acceptance will be better, and that you're finding that your patients just don't want to know a lot. And then look, you have to do consent. That is definitely something you have to do. So when that occurs, do the consent. You know, talk to your patients and tell them what's going on. And then, or when you, like, I have consents, and there'll be times where a patient says yes to something complicated, or it's a severely curved root on a root canal I want to try for some crazy reason. And then I'll talk to them about instrument breakage. Like I know when it's time to be a little bit of technobabble. So I'm not saying never do it. I'm just saying be selective in when you do this stuff.
Yeah.
So look, if you want to increase your case acceptance and make things better, there's one way to do that. That is to train your team to have more meaningful, engaging conversations with your patients. We have our 3D case acceptance bootcamp, and that is an amazing program where we will train your team on how we build my practice, how we build Sully's practice, how we build what we foundationally do at 3D Dentists when it comes to case acceptance. It's an amazing program. Your team goes back fired up, you go back fired up, and you see results immediately. Look, contact Meredith at meredith@3ddentist.com and let us help you increase your case acceptance. With all the stuff going on in the world, the uncertainty in the economy, now is a time to dive in on the fundamentals. The fundamentals work now more than ever. So we'll see you guys next week on the Dentistry Made Simple podcast.